Hi, welcome to the Mindgoal Hour. This is Jeff Bellier. That's Bellier, like cheering a bell, Bellier. And some people know me as Papa Jeff, and I'll tell you that story a few times probably. What we're hoping to do with the Mindgoal Hour is each Monday bring you a unique perspective, maybe shed some new light on how you set goals and achieve those goals. And so my theme is always, do you have a goal in mind? And I'll ask you that question over and over. And while you're listening, you might have an interest in getting a pencil and a piece of paper, because I'm going to give you some very practical things to do that will give you a little direction. We combine with mind goal achievement strategies. I like to combine practical approaches with some inner work, and we'll get into both of those today. And the good news is that I start every show and every session with my private clients, and I have a private practice with the individuals and companies, and we work on goal achievement strategies, and I always bring pie. And I always start my shows with pie. Now, you may wonder how we're going to do that on radio, but you'll also find out that I like a lot of acronyms, and pie is an acronym for primary inner exploration. So setting goals and putting together successful goal achievement strategies begins, when you work with me, begins with pie. It's a primary inner exploration, P-I-E. And so imagine a pie, a nice big pie, and it's going to be cut into 8 pieces. And I'll take my time once we get in, so if you are writing this down. And what I'd like you to do as we go on with it today, I'm going to mention the label. Each piece of pie of the 8 pieces has a label, and I'm going to mention that to you. And what I'd like you to do is maybe take 1 or 2 pieces. Don't try to eat the whole pie today because it's a lot of work. Actually, it's real fun, but it's a lot of work, and so a whole pie might get a little much for you today. And pick another piece next week. I'm going to be on every Monday at this time, and I appreciate the emails that came in from my audition show on Thursday night at midnight, or midnight on Eastern, and 9 o'clock out in the West. And so imagine your pie, 8 pieces, and here are the pieces, and here's what the labels are. And I'm kind of picking them randomly. And choose one that you like. Health and fitness. And of course, this is about a goal. These are always about goals. Keep a goal in mind. Do I have a goal in mind when it comes to health and fitness? Do I want to lose some weight? Do I maybe want to get rid of a rotten stinking habit, like quit smoking, for example? How about a commitment to exercise? Maybe run, train for a triathlon, climb Mount Everest. You know, you choose what you would have as a goal in health and fitness. Maybe eating more healthy, doing some yoga. So you kind of choose that and keep in mind the health and fitness piece of pie, okay? And we're going to talk about some strategies to achieve your health and fitness goals. What I'd like you to do with that piece of pie, each piece of pie that you choose today and in later shows, is write down health and fitness as the piece of pie that you're going to work on a goal and work out a goal achievement strategy. What I'd like you to do is write down, not right now, but maybe after the show or sometime this week before you tune in next week, write down what you like today about your approach to health and fitness. Okay? Write down what you don't like about what you're doing about your health and fitness, your personal responsibility for that, or lack of. Write down what you don't like. Now, this is inner work, so some of it's a little tough, but this is for you. This is a very personal approach, and it's about your goals, not someone else's goals for you. It's about your goals. Okay? So you can write down what you like today. Well, I'm pretty healthy. I walk every night for 3 miles. I do yoga 3 times a week. I eat pretty healthy. I'm a vegetarian, this sort of thing. And write down what you don't like. I eat too much. I don't eat the right things. I don't exercise enough. And now, visualize your goal. We're going to do a lot of that in this show, and it's one of my favorite techniques and approaches is to visualize. Visualize your goal. Write down what your goal is. What is the goal that you have in mind for your health and fitness? A weight that you want to reach, a certain number of repetitions of exercise, anything along that line in health and fitness, write down your goal. And now take a moment, and we'll come back to this several times, a lot of times. Visualize having achieved that goal. Take a moment and just be quiet and just see a picture of yourself. Let's say 6 weeks, 6 months, you choose the time, a year down the road. And imagine having achieved that goal and just take a moment to be very quiet and just see yourself in that place of having achieved that health and fitness goal. And just tune in to how your body feels, how your breath feels, how your mind feels, how your spirit feels about that. Okay, you got that? Now let's go after another piece of pie. Oh, what looks good today? Oh, there's a nice-looking piece of pie. How about relationships? How do you feel about your relationships? What do you like today about your relationships? Your relationships at home, with your friends, with your family, with your extended family, your spouse, your parents, your children, the people you work with. How are you handling those relationships? What are you bringing to those relationships? What do you like about how your relationships are, how they feel to you today? What do you like about them? And what do you not like? And be real honest, be brutally honest with yourself. This is just for you. This is your private work. No one has to see this but you. That's your choice. And just write down what you like about how you're handling your relationships, how people are treating you, how you're treating other people, what you're bringing to work, what you're bringing to your home, what kind of atmosphere you are creating, what kind of energy you're bringing in, what kind of creativity, what kind of wisdom you're bringing into relationships, what kind of kindness maybe, and compassion and joy that you're bringing into those relationships, how you're helping to reduce stress. That's another piece of pie we'll get to later on. So you've got that, what you like today, what you don't like. And this could take some time. Each of these pieces of pie, you could spend from 20 minutes to 2 hours on each of these pieces of pie. Explore it deeply. This is a primary inner exploration. And what we're doing is we're getting in touch with who you are today, and we're planting roots for that. And we're also beginning to take a look out in the future to see where you would like to go. So this is a very powerful exercise, and you'll find some resistance. And we'll talk about ways of dealing with that resistance a little later on today. So there'll be some resistance, but be honest with yourself. This is just for you. So, okay, we're about relationships. What you like today, what you don't like, and what your goal is. How you see yourself handling relationships, how you see other people treating you, how you would love to see a relationship, and how you see them as a result of the goal strategies that you put into place to improve your relationships, to change your relationships, whatever you feel needs to be done. So visualize, if you would now, the ideal, what you would love to see in your relationships, and look down the road a ways, and take a moment to just be quietly aware as you visualize that as reality. See how your mind feels, your body feels, your spirit feels. They all work together and they all affect each other. We'll talk about that a lot later on. Okay? So there's two pieces of pie. So those of you who took both of those, or one of those, or you're waiting to see what the other pie is like, we'll come back and repeat it. I spent 30 years in the field of advertising and marketing, and the one thing that we've learned, I'm also a certified hypnotherapist, I teach meditation. Redundancy is works. And so I will repeat and repeat. And if you have any question about anything I say today or you'd like to comment on it, you have a couple of options. You can call into the show. This is a call-in show. You can call into 888-268-4313. You can email me, and my email is jeff@mindgoal, that's, do you have a goal in mind? Mindgoal, mindgoal.com. So you can reach me either of those ways. You also can check out my website, and it's mindgoal.com. So you can email, you can read my website, and that will link you to some of the things I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, it will link you to a form that you can print, the whole pie, the whole Megillah. You can print it right out. Okay? So I'll give you the number once more. Redundancy works. It's a good thing. 888-268-4313. Let's talk about another piece of pie. Your job, your career, your income. Are you looking for a promotion? Would you like to be CEO, sales manager, VP of marketing? You know, is there someplace you're hoping to go in your career, where you are now, or do you hope to move? Are you studying to move into new fields? Are you taking training to become a certified personal trainer? Are you a yoga teacher? Are you a raw food chef? I'm talking to my wife now because she's involved in all three of those. She's trained to be a personal trainer. She is a yoga teacher, and she's a raw foodist, and she's gorgeous. So that's my little tribute to you, hon. I hope you're listening. Okay, so we're going to talk about let me get back on track. We're going to talk about your income and your career, your job, how you feel about your job today, what you like about it, and what you don't like about it, what you would change. If you were suddenly in charge, what would you change about your job? Now, that may mean you change the job you have and you change the job description, you change some aspects of it, or your aspirations are beyond the job or outside of the job you have now or in a different direction you're in now. Write that down. We're using goal-setting strategies today, for those of you just tuning in. We're developing goal-setting strategies, and we are using some of the sometimes tedious very practical approaches to goal setting that are pretty traditional. But in this show, the Mind Goal Hour, we're going to combine that with inner work, and I'm going to, if you'll allow me, be your guide to some inner work, some beautiful inner work that I think you'll really enjoy. I know you'll really enjoy. I've had literally hundreds of students who really enjoy it. I'm a meditation teacher. I'm a certified hypnotherapist. I like to look into how the mind works, okay? So we're talking about your job and your career. What you like about it today, what you'd like to change, or what you don't like about it, and where you'd like to be. Let's go a little longer. Let's say 1 year, 2 years, you choose the time, 3 years, 4 years, you may be working on a degree, you may be working on some long-term strategies, and that's great. Just be sure you have the commitment to it, and we'll talk about that. So you're going to write what you like today about your job, what you don't like about your job, what you change about it, and the next thing you're going to do is write your goal down. Write it down specifically. Okay? If there are dollar amounts involved, what you'd like to earn, write specifics. I would like to be earning $200,000 by December 25th, 2008. I would too. Okay, write that down. Write your goal specifically. Okay? So there's three pieces of pie, and I hope you found a piece that you like. I've got five other choices on this menu. The next choice for this piece of pie is called Who Am I, or Your Sense of Self. Now here we're beginning the inner work. We're beginning to go deeper inside. We're going beyond just what's out in the world. We're beginning to look in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, who you are all about, what your deepest feelings are. Only you know those. Only you can define those. Only you. And just ask yourself your question, who am I? Who am I right now in my life? What do I like about who I am right now? Right today, what do I like about who I am? And I'm sure that you'll find a lot. And don't be humble. This is just between you and yourself, okay? So put modesty aside and work on humility later. Talk about who am I. I'm a nice guy. I'm caring. I'm loving. I'm kind. I'm compassionate. Okay, what those things that you like about yourself, this is the positive side. There's always a flip side. And then begin to look at what you don't like. What you find yourself doing, revisiting and revisiting, that you really want to change. And you say, wait a minute, I want to change that attitude, I want to change that behavior, I want to change who I am. You have choices to make those changes, and with some effective strategies that I hope you'll learn from this show today and later shows, you'll find that is your choice, and that you can move in the directions of your dreams to be someone totally different from you are today, who you are today. That person that you want to be, that ideal person who lives in that beautiful place, who has beautiful relationships, who's healthy, who's fit, who loves their career, who loves their contribution they're making to the world, that is all alive within you right now, waiting for you to knock on the door. And these strategies are part of the path. This leg of the journey, if you will, is the practical side. And we'll talk about the inner work, equally practical, as a matter of fact, ultimately logical, to find out the wisdom that resides within you, because we've really kind of locked that away, many of us, certainly for long periods of time in our life. And I'm going to give you some strategies, not only for defining your goals and doing a thorough search of your external goals in this world, but I'm also going to give you some strategies that are very neat that I've worked with, as I said, with hundreds of people, to find out truly who you are, truly what you want, truly what you can bring to this world, and to think of just the very best you could be. Be all you can be. You know, think of who that would be, and imagine yourself a year down the road and how you see yourself. And just go back to the other pieces of pie, if you will, and pick up a few crumbs. You know, how would your relationships be different? How would your health and fitness be different? How would your job be different? What would your income be? That all springs from your sense of self and your sense of self-worth and your sense of reaching your full potential, and we're going to talk about that later today, too. Okay, we've had a lot of pie. We're halfway through this whole pie right now. We've had a look at health and fitness, our relationships, at our income and our career, our sense of self. And we're going to go deeper into the sense of self, and we're going to talk about your community, your team spirit, if you will. Now, your community or your team spirit. Now, a community can be your neighborhood. A community can be the place where you work and the people you work with. It can be your city. It can be your state. It can be your nation. It can be the world. We are citizens of the world. But in this context, we're talking about what do I like today about my involvement in the community, Now, this is about you. This is not about what the community is doing. This is about you and your goal setting, what you can bring to it. If there are things going on in your community that you don't like, obviously, without getting too political, there are certain things you can do to get more involved in your community and have a voice. This is a democracy. You can attend a town meeting. You can call your congressman, your senator. You can talk to City Hall. You can't beat City Hall, but you can talk to City Hall. Okay? So this is about what you like about your community, and this is about your involvement in your community, what you like about your team spirit, if you will, what you like about how you, and you can see this relates to relationships when it comes to work, how you feel. Do you work, are you a leader? Are you a team player? Are you both? We often think we're going to be one or the other. The best of the best are strong, independent leaders and the best team players. And when you can combine that, you're living in the best of both worlds. So take a look at that. What do I like about it today? What do I like about my involvement in my community, my team spirit, what I bring to work, what I bring to my team? If you may play for a sports team, maybe in a bowling league or a softball league or a baseball team or a football team, what do you bring to it? Do you bring the best? Because when we're talking about goals, we're talking about goal setting. I like a couple of quotes. I'll give you one, and I spoke of these the other night. I'm going to review some things I spoke of the other night. And while I'm on that subject, thank you so much for the emails that I received, and especially those who said, you have so much worth repeating, please make sure you repeat it when you do your daytime show. And so I'm going back and repeating some of the things from the other night. Abe Lincoln said, always bear in mind that your own resolution to succeed is the most important thing. That means no matter what you bring into a job, no matter what that job is about, no matter how the people affect you or you let them affect you, how you react to them, it really comes down to what you bring, what your resolve is, your own resolution to succeed in this goal setting and these goal achievement strategies is the most important thing. Without that, you're playing. And, you know, we have kind of an annual ritual where we kind of play with goals called New Year's resolutions. I see many people wincing when I say that because the same items show up year after year in our New Year's resolution. This year, I'm going to... And we come to the next year and we say, well, I stuck with that for a few weeks, but I really didn't. And many of you, take your New Year's resolution seriously and you make a commitment to them. You Abe Lincoln them. You say, all right, I'm resolved. This is a New Year's resolution. I am resolving to achieve this goal. And you do it, and that's wonderful. Okay? A little stronger quote, a more contemporary one, a personal business coach who works with creative people, painters, artists, writers, Eric Meisel. He has a quote that I find particularly powerful. He uses a powerful word. He says that any commitment that is less than a belligerent commitment, and belligerent means you'll go to war. Any commitment less than belligerent, which means, oh, you're right there, you're right, Sean. You've made a belligerent commitment. Anything less than that, wow, listen to this. Anything less than that is a curse. Ooh. Anything less than a belligerent commitment is a curse. Boy, just chew on that while you're eating your pie and think about that for a minute. You've made a commitment, but it isn't powerful. It isn't down to your roots. And as I've said several times already, and I'll say many more times, we need a balance. We need this practical work, this writing down of goals, this pie, this primary inner exploration. We need that. We also need to go deeply inside into our hearts and hear the wisdom from our heart that moves us toward our goals. We need that combination. We need both legs of that to give us that balance. That will give us both the head and the heart. And when the head and the heart are in agreement, you're unstoppable. Whatever you wish to achieve, whatever you dream you can achieve, you can achieve. Whatever you believe you can achieve, and I'm mixing some quotes, you can achieve. And what goal do you have in mind, the greatest goal the mind has is to connect to the heart and rediscover, if you will. We'll get into that a little bit. Rediscover your inner wisdom to connect with the child within. I'll mention my favorite teacher who said that only as a child you enter the kingdom of heaven. There is a beautiful place within you that is a place of peace of mind, and it speaks wisdom to you. There's a wisdom whisper that comes from your heart, and we're going to come back to this when we get into the inner work, that speaks to your mind. And it's just so beautiful when you pick that wisdom whisper up. It's like nothing else in the world. It tastes better than anything you've ever tasted. It smells better than anything you've ever smelled. The touch of it is better than anything you've ever touched. It just has so much quality to it. And we'll move into that as we develop these strategies, these goal achievement strategies. Okay? I think we're down to two more pieces of pie. Did we talk about where I live, my home? Maybe not. Maybe we're down to three pieces of pie. Yeah, I think we are. Let's talk about that one. Where you live, your home, what you like about your home, what you don't like it, what your goal is. Visualize that. Visualize a house you'd like to live in. Take a moment and just do this for me. Would you just take a deep breath? Just inhale like loud enough so you can hear it. Just kind of. And as you let your breath out gently and slowly, just kind of, you can visualize with your eyes open or closed, doesn't matter. Visualize where you'd like to live. See the home. Walk into it. Take a look at it. See where it's located. Look out the window. See where you are. This is your dream. This is your goal. It can be as grand as you like or as modest and as comfortable as you like, but it's your goal. It's your dream. It's your vision. Look at where you live. Look at your home. What do you like about where you are today? What do you not like about where you are today? And what does that home look like? Where is it, the one you just visualized? Okay? We got two pieces of pie left. The next one is called your priority mission. Now, we often hear priorities like it was a plural, but priority is a singular word. And we can't have priorities. We have a priority. There can only be one priority, the one thing for us. What is your priority mission? What is that passionate goal? What is that goal that you've made a belligerent commitment to? What is that goal that you've resolved to succeed, to achieve? What is your primary mission in this life? To be the best dad you can be, to be the best mom you can be, to be the best wife, the best husband, the best CEO, the best friend, the richest? You know, what is your priority mission in this life? What is that singular goal that if you would really get attached to it, if you really get in touch with it, that it would drive you, that it would be the focus, it would be your priority? Everything else would come second. There would be one priority, and there would be other things. What's your priority? And where are you today? What do you like about the movement you've made and the progress you've made toward that achievement of that goal, your priority mission in life? And you know this. What have you done to sabotage it? Don't analyze that. Just what have I done to sabotage that? Have you found yourself frequently in a good position or a good place in life and suddenly it evaporates and you've gone and you're 10 steps down the road, and maybe you were right and you're self-righteous about it, and boy, I told them and I said this and they were wrong, but you're the loser. You become angry, you become frustrated, and you've done something to sabotage your primary mission. And while I'm on this, and knowing that my wife may be listening, I believe in an old statement that says, we teach most what we need to learn. Believe me, I've sabotaged my priority mission plenty of times, enough to be an expert. If we truly learn from our mistakes, you're listening to a top-notch expert, okay? I've sabotaged mine plenty of times. So take a look at that, the primary mission, what you like about how you're moving toward it, what you know you're doing to sabotage it, what you don't like what you've done in the past, and then let go of that. The past is like a foreign country. They do things differently there. I'd like to credit that quote. I don't remember where it came from, but I thought it was a great quote, and I typically use a quote a few times when it becomes mine. I'm really kidding about that. I did mention Abe Lincoln and Eric Mizell. So write down your goal. Write down what your priority mission is, even if you know what it is immediately after. Write it down and just imagine yourself having done everything you can, watch everything fall into place, you develop the Midas touch, and boom, you are there, the owner of your priority mission. You have accomplished that singular priority mission in your life. And take a moment in time and zip to that moment. Again, deep breath so you can hear it. And feel what your body feels like, what your mind feels like, what your heart feels like, what your spirit feels like as you enjoy having accomplished that goal. And finally, I know we're getting a little stuffed on pie. We just got one more piece of pie. And this is called legacy. And that's what you want to leave after this lifetime, whether that's a memory or memories or money or an estate or a trust fund or an epitaph that says, here lies the nicest guy that ever lived or the nicest woman that ever lived. Think about what sort of legacy you want to leave in this life. And when you put all these pieces of pie together, because we could have all kinds of pies, we could come up with different categories, but use this. There's a lot of work in this one, depending on how many pieces of pie you decided to take today to eat for this next week. Try not to do it all in a week, but if you have great energy and you do it, that's great. If you have any question, I've told you where to contact me. You can call me today, live on the show, at 888-268-4313. You can visit my website at MindGoal, that's do you have a goal in mind, MindGoal, M-I-N-D-G-O-A-L, mindgoal.com, and you can email me at jeff@mindgoal.com. Okay? Okay, so we're full of pie. Let me talk a little bit about resolutions, a lot about resolutions, and New Year's resolutions. And so we're very familiar with goal setting, you know, and how wonderful it feels to reach goals. We've all reached goals in our lives and feel really good about it, and we all know how that feels, how wonderful it feels to achieve that goal, to quit smoking, to lose weight, to get the new job, to establish that new relationship, to do a good deed, and how good that feels in your heart. We know that feeling. We know that feeling of the new status. As I said earlier, there's always a flip side. We also know how often we fail to reach a sustained goal, and sometimes we know that even though we achieve that goal, it doesn't fulfill us. We thought it would. That new job, that new car, that new relationship, we were so sure that we would then live happily ever after, and we were delighted as it evolved and we achieved it, and then it kind of fades. The glamour fades from it. It tarnishes a bit. It doesn't mean as much, and then we look at where we are, and sometimes we look at where we are and say, I live in a beautiful place. I have a wonderful relationship. I enjoy my job. I'm driving that snazzy sports car that I wanted. I got the promotion. I quit smoking. I'm doing yoga. Why don't I feel great? Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit. If that's a familiar feeling, stay tuned for the next few minutes, okay? So we've done our pie. One of the things I want to mention to you, I mentioned I like acronyms a couple times. There's another one called SIFT. And what I tell people is that if you're working hard on a goal and you haven't achieved it, or you get close and you sabotage it, or just don't seem to be able to sustain your efforts toward it, I use SIFT. You're in a sifting. You're in a S-I-F-T. You're in a sifting process. And the SIFT stands for the S-I-F-T. S, strategy. I is. F, flawed. T, temporarily. Your strategy is flawed temporarily. You know, there's a goal-setting technique, or if you will call it that, called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, and they talk about visualizing, if you will, or stating an objective, where you want to go, and then addressing the activities that will get you there, and then staying flexible, and this is where sifting comes, staying flexible to what it takes. If you've tried to quit smoking, you've tried 8 programs, you say, they don't work, I haven't quit smoking, it's thousands of people, probably millions of people have quit smoking. You haven't found a strategy that works for you. And what I hope is today, or at some future day, while listening to the Mind Goal Hour, we're going to come across a strategy that just resonates in your heart, just hits you just right, and boom, there it is. You're able to quit smoking. And while I'm on the subject of quit smoking, I can't pass up this opportunity to mention that if you visit my website, you'll find a book on my site called You're Not Hooked, You've Been Hoodwinked, You Can Quit Smoking. Take a look at that book and give me a call or email me if you'd like a copy, or you can order one right online, okay? I want to stay with quit smoking, but I also want to move that into parallels, into just about anything, any kind of goal. Barbara Scher, who's a psychologist, I get little audio tips from her weekly, and she's a delight, and I've listened to her for probably 20 years now. I've listened to her tapes a lot, and I listened on the way to work, driving to work for years, and one morning I heard her say something that I hadn't really picked up before, and she said, there's a critical difference, there's a big difference between wanting to quit smoking, wanting to lose weight, wanting to get the better job, wanting, and wishing you wanted to quit smoking. Can you see the difference there? I want to quit smoking. I wish I wanted to quit smoking. When clients come to me, because I deal with quit smoking and weight and stress, and I work with a lot of golfers on improving their golf game, if you only wish you wanted to achieve that goal, wish you wanted to, not I'm talking about wishing for the goal, I'm talking about wish you wanted to, but you really don't want to, your strategy is flawed. Okay? You've just got your resolutions are a wish list. Okay? And I mentioned it briefly, but I just want to mention it once again. Your goals are your goals. And the flip side of that, and many people, you know, we do get emotionally manipulated in this life, particularly when we haven't done some serious inner work. People are able to move us around emotionally by making us feel guilty or ashamed and this sort of thing. Those don't work toward goal achievements at all, by the way. Blaming and shaming and guilting are terrible. I disagree with them completely. I don't feel that those are motivational things that will sustain by talking, for instance, I'll come back to smoking, about the health risk of smoking. Smokers don't know that. They haven't heard that since they were little kids. They know that. They just choose to ignore it. Those don't work. So I just want to remind you, I'm an old rock and roll drummer, and Ricky Nelson might not be considered rock and roll, but he did some fun kind of bubblegum songs and had a lot of great hits, and tried to make a change in his life and came in with some new music at a group reunion, if you will, and he literally got booed off the stage. And he wrote a song after that became a pretty good hit for him, and it was called A Garden Party. And essentially it said, you can't please everyone else, so you got to please yourself. Okay, make sure that when you're doing these goals that it's a solitary, private thing. That because when you do the inner work that brings you to who you really are, you will find such an incredible freedom that will allow you to be who you are, trust your judgment. I mean, I could go on for a four-hour show talking about what happens when those roots that we're planting today, those seeds we're planting today, those roots, as those roots begin to take hold, when you really work on your pie, when you really develop this pie, and then you move into other areas of your life, one of the areas that you will find so many rewards that I will barely touch upon them in the next 6 months, but I will mention several of them as we go along. But as you do inner work, as you hear the wisdom whisper of your heart, as you come into that balance of the rational process, the thinking process, the linear process, and you balance that with the intuitive process, when you reach down inside into your subconscious and you get agreement with your subconscious and conscious, your life will change, sometimes in a flash. It will change. And you will look at the life differently. You'll look at people differently. And I want to talk a little bit about that right now. I want to talk about people awareness. And the pie that we just did, and this little next exercise we're going to do called people awareness, which is great fun. I have those on one page, an 8.5 by 11 page, that you can link to from my website and print it. It'll give you all the pieces of pie and the labels, and it will also give you the chart that I'm going to talk about. This is another circle. And so for this, and the reason we're moving to this, this is relative to your goals, because as you get more grounded in your goals, as you get more in touch with your heart, your spirit, your body, as you practice that, as you maintain that. Now, I want to say something right here before I go on too much longer, that typically listening to anyone, any teacher or anyone on a radio show or talk show, there will be three distinct classes of audiences, and I want to be sure I don't upset anyone by talking, having them feel that I'm too basic or talking down to them. And the three categories are like this, and you'll be in one of these. What I'm talking about is obvious to you. You've experienced it. You've used it. I'm not talking about specifically, not necessarily you've done pie, but you know the core of what I'm talking about. That just resonates with you. That's where you live. You have made that connection between the head and the heart. You know that. And so what I'm saying pleases you. You smile as you hear me because it resonates in your heart, and you go, oh, yeah, he's right. He's right. He knows what he's talking about. And yes, oh, yeah. Oh, yes, oh, yes. Okay, I won't go on too much with that. That's one audience. So you hear that, and you know that, and it just resonates in your heart. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And then there are others who had a time in their life where they had achieved their goals, where they had put things together in their life, where their life was working, where it felt just right, where they felt even attuned spiritually. And then, go back to Scripture again, the cares of the world choked out that joy, that peace of mind, that contentment that they had in life, and they feel like they've lost it. And I want to say to you, and I'll shift into my Papa Jeff persona, that you haven't lost it. It can be rediscovered. It's still there. It's just waiting. It's right at the throne room of your heart. And all we need to do is to show you some very simple ways, and we're beginning that right now, and one of those ways is to begin to plant roots about who you are right now, that you can reopen that door. You can rediscover that joy. I know you can. I have. I know many people have. So if you're listening today and you say, boy, I like what he's talking about, and I was there, but boy, I wish I could have that back. Well, you've tuned in today for a reason, and you know, part of the mission of BBS Radio, you'll see that it says definitely not mainstream. And as you read into their mission, you'll find that those of us who have been invited to do shows share a common mission and a common set of beliefs, if you will, that really are experiential beliefs. They don't come from just a superstition or just a like to believe, if you will, but they come from experiences we've had in our lives that let us allow us to resonate with the truth of that. And that's that as a human race, we are in the midst of a transformation of consciousness, and that there are those of us who can feel the energy of that picking up. I don't mean to be too cosmic with that, but I don't mean to be not at all cosmic with that. There is an energy happening in this world, in this life, You know, of course, there are a lot of forces against it, and depending on your traditions and your culture, you know, it has different names, and we use different models to express it. But on the positive side, I want to stay with that. There's a transformation of consciousness going on in this world. There's a kindness and a joy and a compassion and a togetherness and a oneness, if you will, that is beginning to emerge. And us old hippies were singing about it in the 60s, and we're still talking about it in the next century. Okay? People awareness. Imagine, what I'm going to do is going to be a quick, it's very easy. Just imagine a cross, just an X, or actually just a plus sign. That's what I mean to say, is a plus sign. Just a horizontal line, a vertical line. If you're writing, you wrote down some of the things from the pi, if not, just imagine this plus sign. And what it's going to give us are four categories, if you will, four quadrants on that plus sign, four pieces of pi, to stay with my metaphor. And so this is about people awareness, and this is a way to quickly recognize major life strategies. I work with a lot of salespeople. I work with a lot of automotive sales, media sales. And when I teach in this course, I work with writers on keeping characters consistent. When I talk about becoming aware of the four major life strategies, there are a lot of models from this, and many of you may have seen different models that will parallel this. This is one that I particularly like, kind of evolved from different things I've learned. So you meet someone for the first time. Say you're a salesperson or you're calling on a new client. You call in their office. And what you want to look for in this people awareness exercise, first thing to notice is, are they quick or they tend to be slower and more methodical? Well, that will show up very quickly in their voice, in how animated they are. Either they speak fast, they move fast, their hands fly around, and we all know those. We know the people. And you'll see yourself in one of these four major strategies, and you'll see other people you know. And it happens virtually every time I give this little quick seminar. So you'll be looking to see if they're quick. They speak quick. They move quickly. They think quickly. They're just a dash all the time. Or other people who are typically tend to be calmer, more methodical, take their time to explain thoroughly, very detail-oriented, and they're not in a rush. Okay. So that's one, top of the plus sign, the vertical line, put quick at the top, methodical at the bottom. And now the horizontal line will be goal-oriented or task-oriented on the left side and people-oriented on the right side. Okay, so if you're following me, and I'll repeat it, we're going to have a plus sign. The top of the vertical sign, I always have to stop and think what's vertical and horizontal. Vertical. At the top of the vertical sign, write the word quick. Let's think about people who are quick. And at the bottom, think of people who are methodical, slow. I mean that slow positively, thorough. Okay. Now the horizontal line, think of people who are goal-oriented, or just recognize that there are people who are goal-oriented, task-oriented. And write that on the left side of the horizontal line. And on the right side, write people-oriented. Okay. So now we have four classes, and I'll go over them with you. We have the quick, goal-oriented. This is the typical CEO type. They're competitive. They're quick. They like the latest gadgets, the most up-to-date of anything, cars, clothes, whatever. They just want to be the best at everything they do. They don't settle for second best. They want to be the leader. They don't want to share leadership. They want to be the leader. They want to run the show. And these are often the CEO types who tend to move fast, tend to be a little blunt and brusque, don't give you a lot of detail. They may say to an assistant or administrator, you know, send that thing to them on Tuesday as they go flying by the desk. And it can be really frustrating working with these people. But these strategies, and this is part of what getting in touch with who you are, getting in touch with your heart, getting your heart and your mind working together to achieve that balance, to come into attunement with this life. What happens when you meet people in these four different categories we're going to talk about, instead of being impatient, you know, there may be, I don't know if this is where it is true for you, but often people have like certain personality types, certain styles of behavior or psychological types, if you will, just drive them crazy. They just immediately, you know, are uncomfortable in their presence, and they recoil, and they just don't have good feelings about them. As you get in touch with who you are, as you move closer to the mind goal, as you move into the mystic portion of what we'll be talking about, what you will find, as I said, there'll be so many things that I will barely touch on over the next 6 months, there'll be so many. But what you will find is a new tolerance for people and who they are and where they are. And you find you just allow them to be who they are. that what you recognize is that these are life strategies that they develop, like we all have. We develop life strategies that, and depending on who you read, we develop them at 3 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, subject to change, not subject to change. In any event, there are people who have distinct major life strategies, and there are four distinct types, and you'll hear about them today. Of course, we all have subsets of each of them, so we will spill over into other areas. But as I talk to you, you'll recognize yourself, and you'll recognize other people, as I said. So we're talking about the quick goal-oriented, the CEO, the leader, the top guy, the mover, the shaker, the get things done, get out of his way, just wants everything done. When I'm teaching automobile salespeople, for instance, and I tell them if a person comes in and they glance at their watch, they're obviously quick, they come in and they say, listen, I want the best thing on the lot, do not move into one of the other life strategies and attempt to sell them that way. Recognize their life strategy, respond in kind. Take them right to the most expensive car on the lot, give them a price, ask them to sign the paper. Okay, they'll do that sort of thing. They'll buy the car in 20 minutes over lunch. Now, we have other personality types. That's just one. Okay, you can put the word CEO or leader or top guy or top person, however you want to categorize that, but that's the quick goal-oriented. Get it done, task-oriented. Okay? There's another quick. They move quickly. They speak quickly. But they're people-oriented. And these tend to be more of the charmers. They're very concerned about how they look, how they dress. I love this. I was taught in my seminar. If you walk into their office and they have pictures of their family, they're on the wall or on the desk so you can see them, because everything to them is like a possession. Everything is like part of who they are. They're about image. And they love people, and they're good with people, and they make the best salespeople. They make great presenters. They're not the most thorough or the most detailed, but they tend to have a quick mind, and they really like people, so they're great in the sales position. And they can be good leaders, and they'll share leadership with the CEO, but the CEO won't share it with them. People-oriented leaders, if you will, quick people-oriented personality types, they'll share leadership. They're great co-captains, where the leader, the quick goal-oriented, doesn't have time to share it, and he doesn't want anybody else summing up the meeting. She doesn't want to have to review it with other people. She just wants it done. He just wants it done. Okay. So the quick people-oriented will spend a lot of time talking with people. If a people-oriented person comes in, they'll comment on your tie, on your suit, on your shoes, on your pin you might happen to be wearing, or your new hairstyle, depending on your gender. And they'll be genuine, because they generally like people. They'll be genuine. They're not insincere. This is genuine to them. So they naturally just kind of offer this to you. Where the quick goal-oriented comes into a meeting, it's like they slam their books down on the desk and say, okay, let's get to work. There's no small talk. There's no buffering. Where the people-oriented wants to talk about you and how you're doing and tell you about what he's doing or she's doing. Okay, so there's two types. Have you recognized yourself yet? If not, hang on. The methodical, now we're coming down to the bottom of the vertical line, the methodical types, the thorough type. Those who are goal-oriented, because we've got goal-oriented and people-oriented. So this is the third, this will be the lower left piece of pie. This is a methodical, goal-oriented person. Now these are technicians. These are detailed to the max. Their life is about quality, about doing it right. They're very smart. They can figure out electronics and computers and plumbing and wiring. They just have that kind of mind that will work through a lot of things. They're very valuable in companies. They are not the most people-oriented and don't have the best social skills often. They tend to be that person who corrects your grammar, who points out that your writing is flawed, who just often looks for the little flaws. But again, it's their life strategy. They want things done right. They're in their mind, there are two ways to do things, their way and the wrong way. And you cannot rush them on deadlines. They want to finish the task. They want it done right. They won't rush through it. They just can't. It's just not in their makeup. They have found that this life strategy works for them. They're known as a person of quality. They're smart. The neat thing they do, they take the quick, the goal-oriented or people-oriented, and they can slow them down and sometimes save them from disaster, save their company from disaster by pointing out, that's a great idea, but here's a contingency you didn't consider. So they're valuable, if not sometimes frustrating. Okay, did you get that one? That's the goal-oriented, methodical person. High-tech, all about quality, all about doing it right, very thorough. If they show up for a meeting, they have to say, they'll show up 10 minutes late, and they'll say, you gave me the wrong direction. Okay, so you have to be very precise and exact with them. Okay, leaves one more. That's the methodical, people-oriented. These are the best administrators, administrative assistants, receptionists, executive secretaries, executive assistants, some VPs, if you will. They tend to be very people-oriented. Their life is about relationships. They want to maintain good relationships. Everything is about relationships. If they work for a leader, a CEO, the quick-oriented type, they're wonderful at cleaning up their messes and filling in the details. And they won't do anything that would hurt the relationship, so they'll be infinitely patient with them, as they will be with the quick people-oriented, who will miss details. So this person in the people-oriented, methodical, thorough category, not many people want to be this, but this is one of the great spots to be. And as I said, everything is about relationship for them. If they happen to be the receptionist or the first person that people meet coming into your business, they remember every vendor, every salesperson, birthdays, anniversaries. They have cards from everyone, and that's because everything is about relationship in their life. They do not like change. They like more like evolution. So if you have this type of person, Tim Weir, who developed one of these models, similar to this, calls them relators. Their life is about relationship. With a relator, if you have one of them working for you, work with one of them, and there are some changes coming, let them know quickly. Tell them in 2 weeks we're going to move your desk the other way. Don't just move it when they come in the morning. That will threaten their world because it potentially could cause a problem with the relationship. And if you can understand that, their life is very much about relationship. So just to review the four, and again, we all have subsets of those, but there's a dominance there. The quick goal-oriented leader, the quick people-oriented, Tim calls them a performer. They're kind of the show person. They're out there. They like to look good. They got the sports car. They're showy. Okay? And we have the goal-oriented methodical, and we have the people-oriented methodical. And as I said, as your goal-setting roots dig in, as you begin to do some inner work, you will find a shift in the way you relate to people, quite possibly. Okay? All right. I want to move over into more of the where I enjoy going. When we were first born, and I'm going to get a little cosmic here. When we were young, when we were 2 or 3 years old, let's put it this way. A 2-year-old or a 3-year-old comes into the room. You're in the room with a group of adults, and a 3-year-old comes in, and she's got a new blue dress on. When she comes through the door, she expects nothing but love and the oohs and the ahs and, oh, aren't you sweet, aren't you cute, that she's gotten all her life. She lives in a benevolent universe. This is just a beautiful place for her to live. She's taking care of it. She's not worried about lunch. She's not worried about the report to the boss. She's not worried about a sales quota. She's not worried about the publisher's deadline. Life takes care of her. She just moves. And remember Jesus' word that only as a child you enter the kingdom of heaven? That is the type of freedom that I believe he was addressing. And we can do that. And now keep in mind, to have that freedom of a child is to see clearly everything that's going on. The mind goes quiet, but it's an active quiet. Yogananda, my wife has spread me a lot of Yogananda's teachings, and Yogananda speaks of the being quietly active, actively quiet. I don't have that quite right, but the quiet mind can be very active because it sees so much of what's going on. And so the child has that. They're in awe. They see a bug. Everything's an adventure. Life's an adventure, and they live in this beautiful, beautiful place. And then we begin to socialize them, and we teach them, and as we were taught, that you have to think things out. You have to watch out. You have to make a plan. You have to be attached. You have to stay in your seat. You know that. And we kind of rob the freedom, and we reward them handsomely for right answers, and we just move everything over to the rational side. And that's why I developed my goal to say, wait a minute, I found a way that goes beyond just that think. That there's something beyond making a solid plan and writing it down and blocking out every 15 minutes of your life and assessing your progress and revising your plans and reviewing your goals and think. Those are all good, okay? There's just more, and there's a critical first step that is essential to those goals being real. If we don't get in touch with our heart and what's truly at our core, if we don't do some of this root work, if we don't get down to it, our goals are not going to mean anything. They're just not going to sustain us. Okay? Where was I? Okay. As a child, we're taught to rationalize, to think, and we lose part of our intuition. And part of what I do in my work is to say there's a balance we can achieve. we can enhance the clarity of our thought by enhancing and rediscovering that we have a powerful intuitive side. And I don't mean intuitive in just a hunch. I mean just a sense of what life's about, knowing that is impossible to put into words, but it's a wisdom whisper from the heart. And yet we've lost touch with that. And what we've been told is that, you know, we have to watch out. There's a good and the bad. There's a duality, as many call it in this life. There's a duality that we're taught about that makes us feel separate from everything in life. We have this kind of sense that we almost don't belong. We see everything in that duality, that dichotomy. You know, we learn, of course, by contrast and comparison. You know, good, bad, day, night, big, a little. But you know, there's a non-duality. And boy, I see my time is running out already. I can't believe it. I had 7 pages of notes, and I'm down to page 2. So I think we're going to talk a lot about this next time. I want to leave you quickly with a meditation technique, because I mentioned right off that I had some of those, and I'm going to mention this at the end of every show if I remember to do it. It's called Q-Baha, and those are the initials. The Q, this is your Q, is quiet awareness. Take a moment to be quietly aware. Just pick up on your breathing. Stop what you're doing. Look around. Look around the room you're in right now or where you are. Not if you're driving, please. But just even that, just don't look around. Just be aware of where you are. Just stop. Did you notice how that felt in your body? Do that a few times during the day, and you'll find that you just slow right down. To sustain that, pick up on your breath. And this is a breath awareness. So we're going from quiet awareness to breath awareness. Just notice your breathing. And sometimes the cue is to take a deep breath loud enough so you can hear it. We did that a couple times earlier. Just kind of...
You've got 30 seconds.
Okay, great. And I just got word from the producer that I'm down to 30 seconds. The H-A in the Q-Baha, the Q-B-A-H-A, the H-A is heart awareness. If you will go into quiet awareness, pick up on your breath awareness, you will soon pick up on a heart awareness, and your life will change. Tune in next week, and I'll tell you more about it. Until next time, I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.